somebody need to hear it everywhere we go. Anytime. It ain't never too early or too late. And once you feel with that word, y'all, you feel with it to put it back out there. So anyway you go, the word should go with you. The word should be with you. I don't care where you are. And when God give you an opportunity, be spirit led. Don't do like pastor going to shout out and get threatened and get beat up. Don't be that. Don't in that zeal. God loves that zeal, but he just had to tone it down and show you when and how to use it. That's what it is. So then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Pagan city. In the midst of all the demons. But he went because God sent him. See, that's it. We got to be led by the Spirit and the command of God. In 6, it said, the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. If we had that today, that's what we need today, y'all. Yeah, we calling it, we naming it a lot of stuff. They're giving it a lot of letters and a lot of numbers, and they call it, but a lot of it is demon possession. Y'all. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. How long has it been since we seen any of that? The power's still here, y'all. It's still here. And there was great joy in that city. They had reason to rejoice. See, we've substituted that joy for things. That things start bringing us joy. You know, we substituted the power of God, the joy that comes from that, with the power of things. With what we get, or what we call everything blessing. Everything is a blessing. You ain't been to church since you got that new car. But thank God, look what God blessed me with. He ain't blessed you to turn the other way from the church now. Acts 8:26-28. Said, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. She was returning, going home, y'all. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Why? How can you read something like that? Then let the race baiters come in and tell you that. What the white folk want you to believe is called. Forget what they want you to believe. Read the word of God. God had you on his mind then. This is early, this first century, y'all. This is early, and God dealing with black. He going to Ethiopia. They didn't just get majority black week for last. It's been black folk in Ethiopia. And God was thinking about them then. Enough to send the gospel. Send the gospel back to that country. So now knowing that, and knowing which religions and cults and all that still ruling over there today, it had to give you the sense that it's been a lot of Christ denying going on over there. A lot of rejecting Christ going on over there. And you wonder why they water pots look like coffee. You wonder why they hadn't got up out of that situation. Or a lot of it is because they've denied the power. The power, the blessing. Rich nation, diamonds, gold everywhere. They walking over it. Fortunes every day. And can't even feed themselves. Better quit playing with this God now. Better quit playing with this God. Alright, Acts 8:35-38. Said, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. That's all you got to do today. That's all it takes today. It's still that simple. Preach Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, here's some water right here. See here, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? That's the response God wants today. That's the same response he wants right now, y'all. Said, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, then you may. See, Philip didn't say, well, okay, soon as I dip you in the water, you'll be saved. He was already saved, y'all. He was already saved. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a revelation. Do you believe this morning? So we commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop, horse. Whoa, mule. Whoa, mule. We got work to do right here. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized. And he baptized. You know, there's still people today, though, and I love that. There's still some faithful witnesses of Christ today. You go to certain people, certain pastors, certain places today and tell them that you've accepted Christ and they do their due diligence to know, they'll take you right then and baptize. I don't care if you had to get in a bathtub because they understand what's going on. It's not the ceremony. It's not to add your name to a roll. It ain't none of that. It ain't just an outward profession of an inward change in your life. That's why you do it out of obedience. I ain't know nothing about no church, y'all. I ain't know nothing about none of that. But I know that's what the Word of God said, and I know I wanted to obey Him. That's all I knew. That's it, and that's what the Spirit of God does. He directs us on where to go once He saves us. So we'll just listen. Page 128. These passages reveal that Philip obeyed the Great Commission. He experienced the fulfillment of sharing Christ with a huge gathering of people and a multitude being saved. He continued to obey and was blessed with the privilege of leading an individual to Christ. Philip vividly displays the potential fruitfulness of believers who are obedient instructionally and gifted supernaturally. People showed you how numbers and all that thing, all that mess wasn't a factor when it comes to the gospel. Philip left a great revival.
He did. Yeah.
To go to the desert at this one man.
Right.
He left probably thousands. They showing up waiting on him to come on the stage. You get one of that spotlight today. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We gonna sign a contract that you can't put us out. So how's that been? You can't be led by the Spirit when you nail yourself down to something. God might ask you to pick up and go anytime. Anytime. And you got to be willing to do that. Certain distinction characterize the person who has the gift of evangelism. This person has a consuming passion and a driving desire for people to receive Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. Why call thou me Lord, Lord, and you ain't going to do what I say? So when you call him Lord, be careful. You right then, you testifying that, Lord, I'm willing to do what you say. Just the fact that you call him Lord says that, y'all. Is that the person experiencing fulfilling joy when men and women respond positively to Christ. Unfortunately, sometimes it is assumed that the gift of evangelism occurs only rarely. Logic seems to dictate otherwise. Since the Lord has clearly stated that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Luke 19:10, he didn't come to get the Romans' foot off your neck. He came to seek and to save. And that salvation, man, you can put 5 feet on my neck as long as I got that promise that I know God gonna give me. This life, in this world, you will have tribulation. So when you understand that, we don't look forward to it. We don't run to it. But we know that's going to happen here. And that's Luke 19:10. It says, since that activity continues to be the primary commission of the church. It should, y'all. It should. We have strayed so far from that till it's sad to look at. It really is. And God's commandments are matched by his enablements. That's it. He give you the power to do it. The gift of evangelism is probably broadly spread. It seems there may be many who have been given the gift of evangelism rather than a limited few. But are you using it? See, are you using it? Did you go bury it in the ground? Cause you figure he a hard taskmaster. One should keep in mind that private evangelism as well as public evangelism qualifies as a valid expression of this gift. So just evangelize. Use the stage, the platforms that God gives you to do it, whether it be one-on-one or a crowd of many. Most of the time we get crowds, y'all. God birthed us into a crowd. We call them families. Huh? If nothing else, we can evangelize. If nothing else, we can do that, y'all. Perhaps the best way to discern whether or not a person has this gift is simply to obey the directive of the Lord to be a witness. Confirmation of gifting or confirmation of basic obedience being operative will become obvious. The affirmation of fruitfulness and the agreement of the body will serve to authenticate the gift. See, evangelism is imperative, y'all. It's imperative. It's God's method of spreading his word. You know, of course, it's not the only way he can do it. He can cut out the middleman. We the middleman, but he allows us, y'all. He blesses us with the privilege to be a part of this great salvation, y'all. If you can just remember when God touched your heart, when he saved you, that change he brought to you, you want to see other folk experience that. They can't believe you if they hadn't experienced it. They can't believe. So you want them to see for themselves. You want them to know about this power you talking about. They done stamped crazy on you for mentioning. You want them to, you need to go crazy. So I tell them all the time, hey, you done went crazy. Like, yeah, and you need to go too. You need to go crazy too. Join me in crazy. Come on over here to crazy. Yo, and then we give them a map on how to get there, on who can bring them. Boy, praise God. Praise God. We're going to deal with shepherding now, y'all. All this stuff, see, we're talking about how God's program should be running. All this is a part of God's program. Evangelists, shepherds, leaders. All this is God's program. The gift of shepherding is that special capacity God has given to certain members of the body of Christ that gives them a unique sense of need to gather, to guide, and to nurture groups of people as they grow in Christian grace and knowledge. As they grow in Christian, the stagnation in growth in the body of Christ over the last few generations, y'all, it's almost like it's come to a dead stop. Simply because they focused on so much other stuff. The CEO side of this thing, the business model of this thing. They have totally went to that. And that God wasn't concerned about how much money you can raise in the church. Never have been. Never have. So how did we get there? I'm going to tell you why. But just the same thing Paul told them what's going to happen. It's grievous wolves going to slip in. And they're going to try to pervert this simple gospel message that we've left, y'all. They're going to use my word for merchandise. He warned us about all this. So how do we sit by idly and watch it happen and not know it? That's a lack of discernment. That's no growth for generations. That's the only way it can be done, y'all. Sometimes people mistakenly assume that the only person charged with or equipped for the task of shepherding within the church is the pastor. Indeed, the instructions of scripture that are offered to pastors should be considered and appropriately applied by all who've been endowed with the shepherding gift. You don't have to be the pastor to be a shepherd, to be endowed with that shepherding gift. As a matter of fact, all that shouldn't fall on the pastor because God didn't set it up like that. He gave us perfect examples of that when they were arguing about the minuscule things. And he said, man, go carve out some men. Some men of good report now. Don't just go get anybody. Don't you go get that man with them four girlfriends back there. Don't mess with him. So don't it take discernment and shepherding in a personal relationship to know enough about the people assembled before you to when it's time to fill those positions and do those things, you can make a good godly choice, a sound decision with it. You should. And that ain't getting in nobody's business, y'all. However, laymen as well as clergymen should understand the lack of appointment to the office of pastor or any other staff position in a local church does not qualify a person from this particular gift. Disqualify a person. Yeah. Thank you, bro. From this particular gift. So that don't mean you're not a shepherd because you ain't been appointed a pastor. In fact, persons with the gift of shepherding are needed in all aspects and facets of church life, whether it be Sunday school, mission organization, music groups, ministry teams, or any other area. That covers it all. That's trash collectors, that's yard mowers, that's window cleaners, that's everybody. That's everybody. The passages of scripture, we're on 129, y'all. The passages of scripture which Paul and Peter used to instruct church leaders provide excellent guidelines for those persons who are gifted as shepherds. In Acts 20, 28 through 31, and y'all know the book of Acts, it was given to us. It was put together for us to see how and why this whole body of Christ was put together. How it's to function, how it should operate, what God expects of us in the body. You can go to Acts and get all that. If you have any questions about what should be going on, or if something don't look right in the body of Christ, whatever body assembly you may be in, you can go to Acts and see if they have any merit for doing what they're doing. Acts 20, 28, and 31. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Who did it? All right. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Yes, sir.
You tell me he done bought it with his blood and can't run it, can't have no say in it? This sounding crazy and crazy the more you say that, don't it? For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves, that is, will come in among you. And when they come, they won't spare the flock because they don't care about them. They don't care about them, y'all. Also from among yourselves. Church. Church. Already, they ain't got to come in. They already there. Wow. From among yourselves. Y'all, chew on that. Speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Huh? They want to be lifted up. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Do we do that? Do you find yourself sometimes just simply praying for the body of Christ? Lord, help us. Help us. If you can look at it in the state that it's in and not do that, you need to examine yourself. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5, said, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain. Not for dishonest gain. But eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's Christ, y'all, you'll receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. You ain't got to worry about doing what you need to do to keep it. It ain't going nowhere. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. That's plain. That's plain. And you know you got a man standing in the pulpit every Sunday dripping with pride. Pride dripping off. They have to stop the service to straighten this tie up. Pride dripping off him, and you sitting there, preacher. Come on now. And our Bible tells us plain as day, God resists that man. Ain't no spirit of God in here He resists him. So why do we so openly accept these people? I'm an ask and answer, y'all. Mama told me, boy, don't ask and answer your own question. Let somebody else tell you when you ask. Because they want to be just like it. Because they want to be just like it. That's the only way, y'all. That's the only way. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, and y'all watch them translation. Y'all see how they took grace out of that? Said, but gives to the humble. Give what? Honey, leave that open. That's good for the prosperity teacher right there. That's good for him. He can slide in there what he wants to. God gonna give you now. You see, watch your translation, people. What the word says gives grace to the humble. But this said, he just give. Give what? What you need. Be careful with them translation, people. We got any questions? We got any questions or comments?
I got one comment.
Come on, bro.
When we were back here talking about the, I think we were on the stage. If y'all write down your questions, just let me do this stuff. Otherwise, you'll probably forget, you know. But when we did with evangelism there, and we said that it's our job, it's all our jobs to go forth there and to evangelize. Uh-huh. And the Lord said, whatever is right, he'll pay for
you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now, that's over beyond. You didn't get paid to just, you didn't get saved. The Lord ain't paying you to get saved, boy. You already saved.
That's right.
Because you are saved, you will work.
These rewards.
That's another reward.
Mm-hmm.
The first reward is being saved.
Amen. And the best. And the best. Yeah. Gonna pay you. He gonna pay you. And he's a great paymaster, y'all. Can't nobody pay like it. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were saying about being somebody. I mean, using like bathtub.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah.
Amen.
See, and that's just obedience. That's just obedience. That's what it is. Come on, man.
Yeah, I was going to mention yesterday. I mean, he put us in place. I feel like he put us in places at certain times to speak out. When you feel like something is wrong, if you don't say nothing, then you know, you're not, you know, doing any justice with God's word. So yesterday I was looking on Facebook and Michelle Obama was talking to Duran, what the man name that got the gay son?
Dwayne Wade's
son. And he's sitting on there dressed like a girl with braids in his hair. And he was cute, don't get me wrong, probably prettier than me. But Michelle Obama was sitting there talking to this baby, telling her she's proud of her and to telling him, I can't even tell, because he's so pretty, you got him, you know. But anyway, telling him that she proud of him and for who, you know, for who we are, and keep on doing what he's doing. And when I commented on it, some stranger came at me. I didn't want to go back and forth with her, but I gave her a run for her money. But I didn't know this stranger, so it went up for an argument, because all I said is what God said. And it was, if I would have saw this and just kept on by,
it would have convicted you.
It would have convicted me if I didn't say that. My fingers could not type hard and fast enough. Well, I was letting them know that God don't like this, regardless of who child he is. He is wrong. He's a boy. God is not a liar. I mean, I went from A to Z with it.
Well,
a stranger came back with me telling me I was judging the child. I shouldn't do that. I'm being mean to the child and I shouldn't talk to him like that. I should, no, I'm telling this child what God say. So you can take it how you want it. And it hurt me to see that child on there looking like a little girl. It hurt my heart.
Well, that, you know, we have to, God, when you make a decision to follow Christ, you make a decision that you're going to stand for what's right, regardless to the situation or who's involved. And it is black and white. It's just that simple. God said it and it's so, you know. Come on, Roy, then give Ms. Rose a kiss. And Michelle.
First of all, let me say this to y'all. I was on the way to church this morning.
My bad, bro.
And I caught this on the radio about pride and humility and what you're talking about now, Antonio. And what it was telling me and what they were talking about, you can be so proud of yourself until you're ugly. And you just able yourself. And, you know, you're so proud of yourself, you don't care about what nobody thinks, because you're so proud.
Mm.
And that's humiliation to yourself.
Yeah.
You ain't nothing but ugly.
Well, that's the world. The world has made self-esteem an idol, and you need more of it when the Bible plainly tells us to deny yourself.
Well, yeah, and God plainly don't want to have nothing to do with you.
Well, they just said it. Yeah, we read that. Yeah, he resists the proud. He resists the proud. We skipped over Brother Mills here. Let's get him before he lose it up. Come on.
when you raise your hand, you ought to look.
All right, my bro. Okay. Oh, you're right.
I can't hold my peace.
I know that's right.
I'm not finna try to hold
that's
my
right.
peace.
That's right.
Like Charles said, the call was to go. The Lord said, go ye therefore.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call to go.
That's right.
If you're a true believer, you've been born again, you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit.
That's
you're
right.
going to go.
That's right.
You cannot, like Tara said, hear sinful situations like that and not speak against
them. Mm-hmm.
The blood going to be on your hands.
Amen. Amen.
The blood going to be on your
Amen.
Hands. When you know what the Word of God say, you're going to speak what God says.
That's right.
I don't care who my mama, my sister, brother, who it is. Like Tara said, you cannot sit there and
listen to
mess like that
and
not tell somebody what God
that's
said.
That's right. Now, you can try that pilot method if you want to. Somebody bring me a bowl of water. That ain't going to wash it off. That is not going to wash it off. You got to stand against lies. The only thing that stands against a lie is the truth. If the truth lives in you, that's all you got to give. That's all you got to give. And the world will make you run this guilt trip on you about it ain't none of your business or what if it was your child. They do all of that. But when you're standing on truth, if it is my child, it's still the truth. It's the, and look, I'm telling your child this because I love him. You don't think I tell mine that? That's it. We got to have concern for souls, people.
Yes. Tony, I was thinking about you when you were talking about how the churches have turned into a business.
Mm-hmm.
What came to me was when Jesus went to the church and he came in, yes, and he started flipping over all those tables because they were in there doing things.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting here thinking, if God walked through the church today and did
what
that,
what
would they think?
I often think about that. Lord, you know, you made it plain. You even put it in your word for us at this time that what your Father's house should be.
Amen.
You know, and y'all turned it into this, and he cut up then for that. What would he do if he saw this today? You know, well, now he left us here.
Amen.
To do what he would do or what his words say he would do if he were here today. Come on, Sister Rosa.
I was just going to say, I'm glad you did, Tara. Say something. Because every time I see it in the national news, and I don't care because it's not personal how they feel, but we have to say something. Because Satan operates in darkness. Even though they get defensive, even you're saying it, that little boy, and he's a boy, heard it. His mama and daddy heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they receive it, Michelle Obama heard it.
That's right.
What they're banking on is us not saying anything. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord say, Lord, I'm with you always. He is in the church.
Amen.
He don't have to be invited in. He's here.
That's right.
Now he's waiting because he said, I give you power.
Come on.
I told you to open your mouth.
That's
and
plain,
I speak
y'all.
Through
That's
you.
Plain.
So we don't, we said, I said unapologetically. I get replies and it don't matter. It's out there. Once I said it, I've done all God said
for
me
to do.
So Tara, I am so glad you did. And every believer need to do that.
That's right. That's right. We have to. The fact that we'll be quiet about it, that's what the enemy depends on. He depends on us not using the power that's been allotted to us to refute these things. We know it's going to take the power of God to do it. And we have the power of God, so why not use it? Come on, Deacon.
Here's some stuff I like. First, Michelle, the money changers that you was talking about, God is doing that right now.
During
the pandemic, the fact that, you know, churches are closed.
He sure is.
And he's, you know, saying pretty much stay closed. You're going to lose your members because you weren't speaking the truth anyway. You was playing church and... You know, try to steer by the spirit.
That's
people
good.
Are not as
That's good.
People are not as dumb as they might look. And following up on my auntie, this is some truth being told. You don't have to shout the truth. You don't
Just
have
tell
to
it. Just tell it.
Go back and forth with nobody. Because the fact that God said he'll give you power, the word stand by itself.
That's right.
So the fact that you say it, you even open your mouth, you can say it in a whisper. That's how convicting God is, because God's truth cuts, but it cuts you to the point where he's not going to just leave you cut. He's going to try to heal you.
That's right.
Amen. So, right. No, just say it. And, well, I don't care where you at, family members, co-workers, online, just say, like you said, say what thus said the Lord and be done.
That's right.
And if that's the last thing I ever say, you heard it.
That's right.
And God got you.
That's right. That's absolutely a fact, bro. See, and the thing about that is, what we don't know. See, he said his ways are not our ways. So once you say it, once you respond to that, it might not even reach the people you're saying it to or talking to, but you on social media. It may be somebody in Timbuktu with this same struggle who you just gave a cure. You just gave a cure. That's what we love. God is worldwide, and he can work where he want, when he want.
Not getting away from what y'all talking about, but something a little earlier you said, Tony, about shepherd leaders and how God takes the shepherd and guides us. Now, let's not forget, in the Bible, God didn't give it all to one man, you know, like when Moses was leading the people. His father-in-law had to come, and God showed him and told him, you can't take this burden on your own by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to want you to, you know, distribute to somebody else.
Yeah, distribute this thing, the responsibility.
Right, he gives it, go pick out a couple of elders, and let them lead. And so that's what's true, and this is in the Bible.
That's right. Let them handle those, you know, those some of those menial things that, you know. And that's good, Roy, and that's important that we do that. That's why he created us as a body. That's why it's more than one of us. Every one of us have a purpose in the body of Christ.
Right. And I'm sure that's why, you know, a lot of churches, you know, the preacher want to do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean... Why is God giving me all these preachers here to help me out? And why would I try to do all the preaching here? But most churches, they might have 20 preachers out there. But the pastor will do all the preaching.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not the way the church is supposed to be run. You know, what we see here is high profile people being used by the devil.
Good, Pastor. Good.
You know, high profile people telling me I need to get a shot. You know, that's what they heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, that's the way that they're, that's his program. He used people who have been deemed influential by the world. By the world. And try to dictate what you do by what they do. But we get our marching orders somewhat totally different, bro.
Huh?
Hold up. We got one ahead of you. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, like you said earlier, I know I reached that one person because he showed me he read it.
Okay.
So I'm sure more ready, and I hope that they accepted it a different way, because like I was telling that person that was arguing with me, I said it in love. And God called me to say it in love, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to go along.
To get along.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go. I'm not
well, you can't.
That.
You can't. You can't be worried about what people think and how, you know, you can't. Come on, bro.
That's just like Hank Aaron took the shot.
That's right. From the start.
Yeah, and that was to get a lot of you all to
That's
take
right.
the shot.
That's right.
And he died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a week or so ago, I saw Gladys Knight and her husband on there.
Mm-hmm.
They took the shot. To get y'all to take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye on them.
Look.
Keep an eye on them.
Look, you know. Ain't nobody going to leave me but the Spirit of God.
That's right.
You know, now, and we don't know which way that leads, because it's a personal thing. We can't say what's going to happen if you do or if you don't. You know, just like we can't say it, they can't say it.
Right.
So it's a personal thing with that, y'all, and that's something we need to pray about and deal with it that way. Pray about that. Come on, sir.
I thought I still had the message that Putin sent us about the young lady.
Okay, that had Bell Palsy.
No, okay. The one that was homosexual.
Okay, yeah.
And the Lord delivered her. Mm-hmm. It was a powerful testimony. I mean, she sent the pictures where she actually looked like a man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then how when the Lord delivered her and set her free, how she looked beautiful, young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought I still had it on my phone, but I don't. But she gave her testimony how the devil just used her, and she was just giving glory to the Lord how he brought her out.
Mm-hmm.
It was very powerful.
It is, and that's going on every day. The Lord still being the Lord, y'all. You know, he's delivering. He's a deliverer. That's what he do. And a lot of people don't realize it takes delivery. You have to be delivered from sin. From sin. That's why Christ came, y'all, to save his people from their sin. See, and all this is, it may just be the repercussions that we're seeing, but it all links back to sin. So if you're delivered from that grass, from that hole, then you can see, you're going to see some changes in your life. We already know the Bible is too clear on how God made them. He went as far as to make it that clear. I made y'all man and woman. Period. Period. Anything else is not of me. It's not of me. The world throw we done got too wise for our own good, y'all. Well, what about the people born on both sides or born with it? That's a rare occurrence. And then I can take you right back and answer quick. That's because of sin. That's because of sin. That's why that happens. That's why that happens. And God is still God. So you still gonna be accountable for whether you obeyed him or rejected him. All right. Now, all of us were born in sin. The Bible tells us that. Every one of us were born in sin. So I can't argue with you about you were born that way. I don't know if you were or not. I was born a sinner. So now that's one thing I'm sure of. You were born a sinner. And you need a savior. I was born a lot of things, Pastor. I quit discovering. I don't even want to discover. Lord, just deliver me from it. Whatever it is. That's not of you. Deliver me from it. Alright, 129, y'all. 129. It says, a person who has shepherd, paragraph next by middle ways. A person who has the shepherding gift has a genuine love for people and a deep longing and desire to guard, guide, and protect them from harm. What y'all said, Satan is harm? The Bible says he came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's harm, ain't it? Okay, nurture, enablement, and inclusion seem to be among the primary concerns of the gifted shepherd. Paul's testimony of his own ministry while in Thessalonica presents a worthy portrayal of the lifestyle and approach of the people so gifted. In 1 Thessalonians 2, starting at 7, it said, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Are we willing to go that far? Huh? to go that far, to share our own lives with God creatures. God, they did it. That was the example that was set for us. Said, because you had become dear to us, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for labor night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. That's the whole truth, y'all. That's all of it. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. That's important. What people can, the report people give on you. That's important, y'all. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you will walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Walk worthy of God. Y'all, that's important. Walk worthy of God, because it's not all inclusive. It's not all inclusive. A Christ follower, a God believer, looks a certain way, y'all. And say what they want to. We all look the same. Yet, no, sin has blurred the line so much you can't hardly tell them apart. That's what that is. But we are to look different. And it's a spiritual thing. Y'all remember that. It ain't the clothes you got on. It ain't how you dress. It's your walk. Your very attitude, the way you live, your spirit, the spirit that dwells, we all say we have the same spirit dwelling in us. So we should all look the same. Not physically. Spiritually. We should all look the same. With the same spirit, we can't look any other way. And it's not any guesswork. It's not up to you or up to me how that spirit looks. It looks like Jesus, y'all. It looks like Jesus. And every one of us who is striving to be closer to this great God we talk so much about should be looking more and more like Jesus as the days go by. It's a forever growing process, y'all. And it's until we leave here. Now, at the bottom of 129, it said one might surmise that all pastors and staff members are required by position to have this gift. Evidence and experience indicate that such a case is not always true. In fact, sometimes great churches are built by God working through a pastoral team composed of individuals of which none have this particular gift. On the other hand, in such instances, leaders who are gifted otherwise are still required to do the guarding, guiding, and protective work. You're the gatekeeper. You got to keep the wolves out. That's your job. These leaders are responsible to nurture, enable, and include. When godly lay persons who have the gift of shepherding come alongside these leaders to assist and to build the body of Christ, wonderful results follow. See, that's what it's about, y'all. It's not about the pastor having all the gifts. He ain't got to check all the boxes. But that shepherding box got to be checked with the pastor. Because the shepherd called for you to do certain things to protect the flock. And God has plainly told you, the pastor, that you are responsible for their soul.
That's right. That's right.
For their soul. Boy, that's a high, oh man. That's a big responsibility. You gotta stand before God and tell him why you rejected him. But just imagine standing before him telling him why they rejected, why y'all rejected. All, you know, that's a big responsibility. A flock, y'all. A flock. Scattering them, you're going to pay for it. Alright, now, it said, when God, a lay person who had a gift to shepherd and come alongside the pastor to assist and to build the body of Christ, wonderful results follow. Precisely because of this reality, it's essential that the understanding of the gift of shepherding be expanded. In all likelihood, many congregations have residing within their membership shepherds yet to be identified. And like Pastor said a few minutes ago, a lot of them won't get the opportunity because the shepherd feel threatened or trying to hold on to something material, whether it be position, title, finances, whatever it is. That means more to him than doing the will of God. Because the will of God say, nurture these men and women and develop them. See, because God's work is reciprocal. It's his will that this person at some point at least be able to carry on his own personal ministry outside of this assembly. The only way you can do that is through growth. Growth in the word of God. And the shepherd is to oversee that. You know, we have a good, I look forward to Sundays, y'all. I love coming to see y'all every week. And we do a lot of laughing and cutting, but the fact of the matter is, it's every one of our job to make sure we can discern a wolf. We can call him out. You know, well, how big of a hypocrite would I be to see a cobra crawling on the hill and don't say nothing to the brothers and sisters sitting right here? Don't say a word. Got blood on my hands, y'all. And that's not the reason I do it. I do it because God said do it. Period. That's what he said do. My concern for souls should prompt me to do things God has said to do. That every one of us need to be like that, y'all. We need to be like that. Now, next week, we gonna start on this speaking. This is so important because some people, instead of having that gift of speaking, they have the gift of gab. There is a difference. They're very charismatic. They're oratory geniuses. They can put words together to make you shake, do a jig. They can make you feel some. They can make you feel a certain type of way by what they say, how they say it. You know, they done discern that you come in with your lip hanging on the floor, so they kind of know how to come to you. They can tell you just what you want to hear. Bro, I don't know what you're going through, but God told me to tell you. Them $50 you gonna sow today, they gonna reap a very. We fall for those things because we won't. Huh? And we start off with wrong motive. God, if you, then I will. But in my Bible, we just sit here and rejoice about why I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. So why I gotta see something from God before I obey him? God, if you, I will. See, that's all I'm saying, Pastor. Nothing else is too much for me. Yeah, well, hey. God have to get drastic sometimes. Y'all might not have been moving fast enough. Y'all might not have been getting out of there fast enough. Come on.
Okay. I didn't know how to react to it. It was a lady in Walmart. I was getting some groceries, and there was a lady on a buggy. And she rolled up to me, and she was like, I like your hair. I said, thank you. And she said, you a woman of God, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm saved, and I'm a Christian. And she said, I pray that the Lord will send someone up to me to pay for my groceries.
Uh-oh.
Woman of God.
What am I to do, right? What do I mean, if I am who I say I am, how do I even say no?
First, you call your husband. First thing you do, you call your husband.
I would love to answer that. You're a woman of God. God didn't give you that discernment that you were supposed to pay for that grocery, did you? So, God bless you, but we're not on the same page this morning. And when God told you, if he wanted me to do it, he would have prompted me.
Yeah.
So God bless you. I had a man tell me, will you give me some money? I said, no. You know Jesus? I said, I sure do. I know the Holy Spirit too.
There you go. See, that they don't realize. We have protection when those things come about.
In the Bible, two or three witnesses.
That's right.
You would have put it on your heart first, Tara. You would have known that somebody was going to come to you. You might not have known all the details, but you knew that probably somebody was going to approach you about something. You can't just go on one word. It's got to be a confirmation somewhere. You know, a bird dropped out of the air somewhere and told you somebody coming.
And don't, whatever you do, don't forget, call your husband. Come on, Roy.
I just want to say this to Todd. See, this is why a lot of us don't do it. You keep God on your mind constantly, you keep Jesus on your heart constantly. Because that wolf you were talking about, oh, he will grab you and chew you up and spit you out.
He will do it, Roy.
Yeah, this
he
is
sure
why
you're
by your side all the time. Everything I do, and sometimes I forget, I try to keep you on my mind by my side.
You know, the beauty to that with me, Roy, and it's not because I'm any different or no special person, but that goes without effort now in my life. That's just... He's just always there, all the time, everything. And people wonder, well, how you equate everything to the Bible? I said, because everything is equated to the Bible. It do. I have to. That's why I get my direction. So, come on, Deacon.
I'm going back to page 129,
mm-hmm.
where it says, a person who has the shepherding gift.
Mm-hmm.
Has a genuine love for people and a deep longing desire to guard, guide, and protect them from harm. That, to me, resonated with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit does those things. The Holy Spirit guard us.
Okay.
He guides us.
Mm-hmm.
And he protects us from harm.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, when we went over that, I just heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me. You know,
that's good, bro. That's good because that's absolutely right. That's why we have to have it. That's why we have to have it. And don't let nobody trick you and tell you, you know, they ask you trick questions. When I was first, say, it might have been the first conversation I had with Pastor Dan. He asked me, where have you got the Holy Spirit yet? Let me get back with you on that. You know what I'm saying? But now, because I ain't got that unholy one that I had before the Lord revealed himself to me. I knew that one well, and he was very unholy. I ain't got that one no more, but I had to come back with that. You know? And that was one of the few times God slowed my roll on that, because I was too zealous for my own good, y'all, you know. Looking for a fight. Come on, bro.
That
we do, we really do.
Because we don't recognize the Holy Spirit like we should.
Mm-hmm.
And like you read earlier in the scripture, he said, I give you power.
Yeah. That's right.
That power is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And see, we call on the name of Jesus and call on the Lord, but the Holy Spirit is our power that he left with us.
That's right, brother.
To overcome situations
in
our life.
That's right, brother. That is absolutely right. And it's sad to say, but a lot of time all it takes is for somebody to ask you a question in the right way. I bet you believe in that Holy Spirit stuff, don't you? Then you now you like, well, not yeah. Absolutely I do. I depend on my life depend on it. Don't you know that's God? How can I believe in God and not his spirit? That's God, just as much God as Jesus and the Father. And we don't give him the credit that he's due a lot of times. Come on, sis.
I just want to say, the car wouldn't start a week or so ago, and I called AAA. And while I was sitting out there in the car, the young man that was doing the battery, the Holy Spirit said to witness to him. I'm like, okay, Lord, he's just fixing the car. Let's let him leave in peace. So I sat there. The new battery got put in. And he was a little black guy. He kept on. The car still wouldn't turn over. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is you, I'm going to get out and I'm going to talk to him. So I got out and I asked him, if he had ever considered the fact that if he died at that moment,
If he knew exactly. I said, a lot of people don't even realize. He said, yeah, I know you should go somewhere. I said, you do. I said, but for some reason, when the car wouldn't start after you put the new battery in, I said, the Lord put it on my heart to share the gospel with you. I told him, I said, and he just put, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to tell him? Because I knew he was a problem, and I didn't know why.
Yeah.
He said, tell him to read John 3. And I was like, I want you to read John 3. And that would speak what God want me to speak to you.
Yeah.
He said, I'm a Hebrew.
Oh, boy, there you go.
I said, and that explains why. You know, there are all kind of books. And he went on and on. And nobody knows, in the Catholic Church, he went on to justify not believing. I said, well, you know that's a false religion. He looked. Well, what about the other? I said, let me tell you, if you go back to Genesis, it started with God. Jesus is manufacturers. I said, let me ask you something. It's plurality in Genesis. I said, if you go to Genesis to Revelation, he was not just mentioned in the New Testament. I said, he's mentioned from Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
I say he's manifested for us in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But God talk about Jesus throughout the Bible. Well, I'm not going to talk about religion because he saw he couldn't. As he was getting smart about the Hebrew, he said, I'm not a black Hebrew because I don't go to their meetings. I'm just a Hebrew, Israelite, Hebrew. We're the chosen people. I said, I just want you to think about what were you chosen to?
Yeah,
what were you chosen for?
Yeah.
Well, let me go and fix the car. I'm not going to talk religion. And at first I was like, I was ashamed to tell Chrissy because I was like, she going to say, Mama. I went back in. I ain't tell her she was working from home. I had witness, but I think I mentioned it to Leon when he came that evening. Then I said, Chrissy, I didn't tell you, but the guy was a black, one of those Israelites who were chosen. I said, but now I was like, God, why did you have me? He said, because there may be a time you may hear from him again. You planted a seed. Even though he left and charged you a dollar extra, which for your mouth.
Well spent, my sister. Well spent dollar. That's a well spent dollar. Hey, I tell y'all what. Simple encounters like that is a testimony to the work that's to be done out there. You know, what that truly tells me is people are hungry and looking for something to believe in. They're looking for something to believe in. And he feel he can identify with that because as a black Hebrew Israelite, any of that, it justifies your anger, your rage, why you feel like you feel, and why it's okay to feel like that. When God says, forgive them as I forgave you. See, that's why they don't want him, because there ain't none of that in that religion, see.
He came out of the church. That's
that absolutely is.
Your frustration, but that wasn't God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you might have been in the church, but have you been saved?
Amen.
Have you been saved? See, that's the key. Because you don't get unsaved.
Amen.
You don't get unsaved. Because it's not you that's keeping you.
Amen.
It wasn't you that saved you, and it's not you that's keeping you. So once you get to understand, that's an indictment, like the sister said, on the church. Because we haven't done that kind of teaching over the generations. And I mean, and all it is a simple going through the scriptures.
Right. And Tony, you know, I had conversation with one black guy, but I just told the baseline, brother. I said, what you don't realize at this time, you want to be something that God, right now, he had nothing to do with.
All right.
That's right. That's right. Well, if you seen the tribulation era, if you read about that, you wouldn't want to be one of them. You wouldn't want to come on, Roy. And we're going to close out, y'all.
What you were talking about, what you were saying, but you forgot to tell us. God took these hands and do things with it. And you don't even know you're doing it.
Amen.
That's why he didn't let the car stop.
That's why God
didn't let the car stop. Because he takes
these
hands. I do a lot of things.
Right, you have to have, look, and that's the beauty of it. You have to have eyes to see God in everything. You have to have eyes to see that. Now, he never could have saw that because he don't have eyes to see it. You know, and I know Miss Rosa just, and I love to have a picture of the smirk that was on her face after she obeyed God and that car started. You know, because we put those things together. We know whom we have believed, y'all. And that's what this thing is all about. Are we willing to obey him?
Amen.
Why call me Lord, Lord, if you ain't going to do what I say? I can't be your Lord if you won't obey me. You know, so we got to realize that's the fact of the matter. And that's a lot of people's hesitation. It was ours at one time. It was ours. So we got to just keep doing what God say do, y'all. Keep witnessing and have faith in the fact that he going to add to the church as he see fit. As he see fit. You know, what we see, all our homeboys will be in there. And that little girl pastor walked home behind, she'll be in there. All that. All that. You know, we were doing it. But it's not up to us, y'all. As he sees fit. All right, mama, would you pray us out?
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.